Podtacular episode 337, bringing in the new year for January 14th, 2013. Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm Daftlink.
And we have been gone for quite a while. Officially, we've been gone for about a month. We have been putting out some short episodes as our mini-series. This is the stuff that we were promising over and over again, and we finally got it out there for you guys. So as of this recording, we actually released our second Spartan Ops episode. And if you guys haven't listened to those already, go check them out. If they're too much for you, I know we're going to be releasing these pretty quickly. But what we're going to be doing with these mini shows is we're going to be compiling a good chunk of them into one podcast, and then you can listen to them straight. So what we're doing is we would be doing the first campaign mission, then the first episode of Spartan Ops, and then one of the War Games maps. And we'll combine that into one official episode. So you're going to see quite a few episodes coming out from us for the next 5 or 6 weeks, especially as we have another pack of DLC coming out, and we have more Spartan Ops episodes coming out really soon as well. But just to kind of catch up, let's go through some of the stuff that we got for Christmas, some of the games we may have gotten, some of the other things that we've been playing. So I've been playing pretty much Halo 4 nonstop. I didn't get any additional games for Christmas. I pretty much bought everything I wanted to for the year, so I've been playing Halo 4. I've played through like the first chapter of Assassin's Creed, and then I got busy with doing the miniseries stuff, so that's been kind of hectic for me. But what about you, Daff? What are some of the games that you've been playing recently?
I played a little bit of Halo 4, you know, over the holiday break. Got all the achievements finally.
Yay!
Pretty fun. Yay!
So, there are a couple of annoying ones, and I know there's some new annoying ones in the Crimson map pack, but out of the original 50...
I boosted a lot of those.
Out of the original 49, what was kind of like your most frustrating one to get?
Some of the campaign ones were kind of annoying.
Yeah, like the midnight launch?
I don't know if that would be annoying. It's kind of just like, you know, you gotta do it like at a... It's just, I guess it's tedious in a way, like...
Yeah, well, you had to do it at midnight.
Like, it's not hard at all, it's just like...
No,
it's
very situational ones.
Yeah, the Wraith one was like kind of annoying. You steal the Wraith and kind of annoying.
I did that co-op with a friend.
Yeah, me too. Shout out to Egan, ODSTJY.
Very nice. Actually, I was able to get it with my friend. We were actually able to do it in one run through, which I'm surprised there were actually enough Wraiths to do that with.
Yeah, they show you that you can do that in the Rooster Teeth video.
Oh, good.
Yeah, there's barely enough Wraiths. It's like exactly enough, pretty much.
Actually, there's a few extra.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe.
But it's it was a lot more difficult than I anticipated, to be honest. That was one of the more difficult ones. And then I had the hardest time with the Hunter one. Was it the Meet the Floor, I think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of like it's dangerous. You know, it's like you got to jump out of the way, you know, to not get killed. And then...
Well, it's just hard to like get up close enough to them where they're going to start charging at you, but then making sure they're actually going to charge off the edge, because there'd be multiple times where it's like I jetpack up and then they just stop right at the edge, and it's like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, they don't really like they don't run right off the floor. They kind of like I don't want to say like they glitch off the floor, but it's like they move forward just enough, so it's like they're like a pixel like off the floor, and then they kind of just like drop. Kind of, it's just. They fall in a weird looking way.
Yeah, was probably one of the more harder just on single player to get.
Yeah.
But that Wraith one was a pain as well. But so what about some of the other games that you've been playing?
Playing a lot of Far Cry 3. Pretty fun, exciting game. Skyrim with guns.
I've watched someone play it. I haven't played it myself.
It's really good. It's awesome.
A
lot of exploration.
That's not quite my game style, and I mean, I'm still working on...
You like Fallout, like open world, right? So,
I'm usually not a big open world person. Fallout was kind of an exception for me. I don't know why, but
are you into like the Elder Scrolls stuff at all? Because that's so. I mean, same. It's Bethesda, same thing.
So I have Skyrim. I've played it for 20 minutes, and it, I mean, I want to play it. It's something I'd be interested in playing, but just the time commitment it would take is.
Oh God, Skyrim! I mean, you gotta like.
See, and like, I'm not in right college now, anymore, so.
Yeah, right now, I'm a high school senior. So, like,
you're graduating soon.
Yeah. My goal right now is to beat Skyrim before I go to college. Like, you need that big of a time span, you know.
How far in are you?
Oh, I haven't really started it, but that's just, you know.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Well, you know, like, once I get going on it.
At least it's your senior year, so, well, that could mean two things. Either you have a really, really easy year, or you have a really, really hard year.
Kind of in the middle.
Really?
You know, kind of in the middle.
It's usually not that way. It's usually really easy or really hard.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm doing, like, a couple, like, hard classes and, like, kind of a couple BS classes. It's kind of mixed.
Okay.
So,
very nice.
We've been playing some Black Ops 2.
I have not played it yet.
Borrowed it from a friend. That's the way, you know, that's the way to do it. I was fairly impressed with it, actually. I thought the story was really interesting and, like, a lot of twists was pretty good. You know, it's like COD, you know, kind of same thing, but they've done enough like little things to still make it feel like a little fresh, like a little different this time. And, you know, just good campaign levels. Zombies is fun as always. I don't really care for the multiplayer, like just the COD multiplayer in general. But you know, I mean, like at least like for what it is, it's smooth enough and everything.
Okay. Very nice.
I tried out Brink. It kind of sucked.
Yeah, Brink was a game that was really, really hyped up, and it fell flat on its face.
Well, the thing with Brink, like, what I thought was, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, the game itself. Like, to me, like, the controls, the mechanics, like, the gameplay, like the graphics, like, all that stuff is solid enough. Like, it's fun to play, like, physically play. It's just the whole, like, the setup of it is just horrible.
Well, at the core of the game, just the story that goes with it and everything else, there's no replay value in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like it's fun enough, like, and it's like the mechanics, like the way it plays, like it's fun enough.
Yeah,
but it's just like the whole, you know, the way it's totally like this online game, you know, campaign, multiplayer, like it's all so online, like it's like trying to be like Team Fortress, right? Essentially, so it just the whole setup just doesn't work well. Like it's very poorly executed.
Well, it was an attempt to mix up the campaign and the multiplayer in a way that just really didn't work out for the game.
Yeah. But see, the problem with like, those kind of games that try to do that, it's a cool concept, but, like, that becomes a horrible idea, like, when the game is a year or two old and, like, no one else is online anymore.
So, it would have been nice to see a little bit more of the one-sided stuff for a quote-unquote campaign experience, and then something that was kind of similar to what they had out for the game, but not quite, where there's actually something that's going back and forth, like a Capture the Hill kind of thing, or a Capture the Flag, kind of something that's a little bit more team-oriented on specific objectives, and not this kind of trying to evolve a storyline through playing multiplayer, which it crashed and burned for this.
Yeah. I'd like to see them trying to do, like, a Brink. I don't know about a Brink, too. Like, they'd have to, like, the way they would, like, do it and, like, word it and name it, they'd have to be, like, kind of, like tricky and clever about it. I don't think Brink 2 would be a very good idea. I should like that name.
Like,
I'd like to see them do, like, some kind of a reboot. Like, try to, like, do it, the whole thing just better. And, like, that could be really interesting.
If they do what they were trying to advertise that they were going to do in the game when they were doing their initial media push, because what they were showing off in all their press releases and stuff was really, really promising, and then when it came out, it just didn't produce.
Yeah.
Because me and my roommate in college at the time, we were really hyped up about this game, because there was the smart system, with the jumping over the terrain and everything, it's and basically having the classes.
Team Fortress 2 with, like, parkour, with jumping around and, you know, running a lot. And
not nearly as many classes.
Yeah, true. And not as many hats, right? those Team Fortress 2 hats. Like, I think it's like, are we going to make Half-Life 3 today? No, I think we'll just make a couple more hats. Team Fortress 2 hats, yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but as soon as they went free to play and started just making revenue off of hats, their revenue jumped 12-fold.
Yeah. Just from hat sales. When you make the thing free to play, I mean, you expand your base like just so much right there, and like that gets people into it who like would have never tried it otherwise, and then they love it, and they do want to buy the hats actually.
It's still one of the kind of top shooters on the PC platform next to now Counter-Strike Go, and then some of the other top PC games are like StarCraft 2.
Right. Wow.
Personally, not for me. But
right. it's for me and Brent, though.
Yeah, you guys can have go at it. I'm not an RTS person. Never have been.
Did you see the pictures posted online of like you know that in China, the Chinese made this like WoW and StarCraft like theme park. But like
it would not surprise me.
It's a big like copyright like licensing, like it's a ripoff. Like it's not official Blizzard or anything. It's just a copyright like absolute ripoff. And some guy, you know, I don't know who, some guy went over there to the theme park himself, took a bunch of pics and posted them online the other day. Like these are like the first good pics people like basically not in China, you know, outside of China have seen of this WoW and StarCraft theme park. Being like a huge WoW player myself, I looked at them. Like I didn't see the whole park, but out of like the 27 or so pictures, it's like only like 1/4 of that stuff actually looks like it's really from WoW. Most of it in StarCraft, most of it just looks like generic sci-fi and fantasy stuff. Like it's just the whole thing just looks like it's horrible, like retarded ripoff. And like it looks dirty, it doesn't look very like well. It's just, I mean, it's China. It's kinda like crappy quality. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
It's like kind of a joke.
Okay.
But I encourage everyone to go look at it, you know, look at it themselves for the community value, and also, you know, just like check it out.
Is there a Mist of Pandaria section of the theme park?
Oh, yeah. One of the pictures was, it's like some restaurant or something. It had like a, you know, statue of like one of those like Pandaren people outside of it or something, like playing with some like noodles or something.
Okay.
So I think they cover even the most recent content.
Very so, nice. Yeah. Very nice.
Shout out to Egan, ODSTEJY, for showing me those pictures, and also shout out to Raxus for, you know, our resident, you know, expert of the Orient.
Yes. One of our few connections over there.
Yeah, right.
All right, so we've talked enough, I think. We've jabbered on for 10 minutes, kind of catching you guys up on what we've been doing. So let's move on to, what is this? I believe we have a Halo Bulletin. How about that?
Yay.
We haven't had one of those in a while. I think the last show we did was actually covering the last Halo Bulletin of 2012. So this is kind of adequate timing. As the Bulletin returns, we return. How about that? So, go ahead.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yay.
I spoke over you for a second there. So we have a bulletin, first one of 2013. I got to get used to start saying 2013 instead of 2012. And it's a pretty much an apology letter. Frankie basically came out and wrote a two-page letter to the communities, basically saying that, yeah, there are definitely parts where we kind of screwed up, but there are definitely some parts that were successful, and it's those things that they use to keep going, keep pushing on, keep inspiring them, and just keep on making content, and hopefully they can learn from their mistakes. And they're still listening to the community, so they're trying to be mindful of what people think and make the future of Halo hopefully that much brighter. So I want to go ahead and read this letter out because it's a very well put together letter, and I hope I don't stumble over my words too much. But if you have time, definitely this is a bulletin that you must read. Most of the time when we cover bulletins, we just kind of hit the bullets, and that's pretty much adequate enough. But for this letter, it's definitely something worth the read, and because of that, I'm going to read it out here on the show. So this is from the face of Frank. 2012 was supposed to be the end of the world. Instead, it was the beginning of ours. Halo 4, despite being the 7th or 8th game in the Halo series, depending on how you count them, was our first game. That is to say, our first ever fully fledged title, built from the ground up creatively and technologically. So let me save you the trouble of trolling my statement. We have a lot to learn. We made a lot of mistakes. We can do better. And we know this, and we will. But I don't want to spend the first moments of the year thinking about the negatives, because frankly, I'm incredibly proud of both the team and the game that the team created. And for a first effort, it wasn't half bad. Stepping into Bungie's oversized shoes would have been difficult, even for a well-established team. The challenge of wrangling that engine, that universe, and that community was dizzying, even withering. 4 years ago, when our charter began, the challenge of starting the seed of a development team and then creating a sequel to Halo terrified us. A small group of us, names you know, like Kiki Wolfkill, Bonnie Ross, Kenneth Scott, Josh Holmes, and other characters who have moved on to different projects, different places, was tasked with doing something that was almost impossible. But the team grew, and we learned. And we're still learning. And the game arrived, and they succeeded. Halo 4 is the best and fastest-selling Halo game in the series. It won critical acclaim. It won awards, from Best Graphics at the VGAs to Game of the Year at the Inside Gaming Awards. We altered the engine. We expanded the universe. We innovated in storytelling, technology, and even marketing. It wasn't flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but by most objective criteria, it was a resounding success. So we know we have a lot to do, and we know we have a lot to learn. But we also know now we have the capacity, the teamwork, the technology, and the experience to do much better next time. But my point is this. If you asked me 3 or 4 years ago if we thought we'd be where we are now, I would have looked at you doubtfully and said, that's a lot to ask. But the team, through miracles of collaboration and individual contribution and lakes of blood and tears, waded into the challenge with gusto and worked obscene hours with passion and verve. I think that should be nerve. Nerve to get it done. And now we're beginning to really understand what it is. I think that, perhaps perversely, rather than being looked at askance with doubt and cynicism, in some corners we've been given extra latitude, the only benefit of low expectations, and then the ability to exceed those expectations. There are a ton of things we wish we'd done better, features that didn't make it into the final game, glitches that emerged, missteps made, DLC fiascos, communication breakdowns, but there were things that went astonishingly well. The creation of a genuinely competitive AAA studio chief among them. A collection of talented souls that can do something genuinely amazing on this and next generation hardware. The overhaul of an amazing game engine, but one that really needed to be overhauled and has amassed education on systems, people, code, an audience that will stand us in great stead for the future. Some of the high points of the last few years have been products as well as people, like Halo Anniversary and Forward Unto Dawn. There have been amazing events, Halo Fest, the E3 debut, Comic-Con, all blurring into a sea of faces, excitement, light, and noise. But the most important aspect of our success and our efforts now and in the future has been this community, a demanding, imaginative, engaged, vocal, varied, and intelligent swarm of personalities, groups, and individuals, each with subtly and radically different interests in this vast and varied universe we're changing with, we're charged with.
Come on, Dusty.
That isn't lip service. That isn't lip service, nor is it pandering. You guys pay for the privilege of playing our game, and you have every right to have a voice in this development. It may not have ended up precisely the way you imagine. There are simply too many voices and perspectives to make all the people happy all the time. But we think of the community as a direct and democratic extension of the team and indeed of the development process. A litmus test, a pH strip, and a sounding board for ideas and innovations, you are a tension between the need for change and evolution and the necessity of inertia. Technically, this should be a retrospective, but it is safe to say I'm more excited about the future than the past, excited about what this team is already working on, excited about what this team is capable of, and excited about the future of Halo, a future we want you to be a part of, a future we're building for you. So that was Frankie's letter to the community that was posted in the Bulletin this weekend. From the responses I've seen on Twitter and Facebook and a lot of other places, people are really, really happy that Frankie took the bold step and came out and kind of admitted that the studio was lacking in some areas, but is really looking forward to making Halo what we want as the greater Halo community and what they want to do with the franchise, and that they're building the team and they're constantly overhauling the system and looking for new ways to really innovate the story of Halo in all aspects. So
yeah. Frankie, I really appreciate that he did that.
Yeah, so I'm going to say on behalf of the Halo community as a whole, Frankie, thank you very much for this letter.
Yeah.
You definitely can tell how much time and effort that he's put into making Halo what he imagined Halo to be. And that the fact that he just came out and pretty much just opened himself up to us is something I'm really proud of being with a part of the Halo community for. Yeah. I think it's hard to say you can say that for a lot of other gaming communities out there. So, do you have any 2 cents you want to throw in there?
I mean, yeah, it's a good job, Frankie, for coming to terms about all that stuff. It's certainly better than if 343 had like tried to act like they just done a perfect job and there was like no mistakes at all. Try to keep moving along. It's good that they address things that people were bringing up, and it shows that they're listening.
So, again, it's something that you guys should go read. I know I just read it here on the podcast, but it's definitely something you should go read for yourself. Moving on to the rest of the bulletin, the not-so-meaty bits. This is kind of the scraps, but this is still kind of interesting to note. The next book the final book in the Forerunner Saga by Greg Bear is due out on March 19th. That is Halo Primordium. Silentium, sorry. And that's going to be talking about the Ur-Didact and the Librarian. So if you guys have read the previous two books, this is something you'll probably want to pick up as soon as it comes out. Just in time for PAX East, too. PAX East, I believe, is that weekend. It actually comes out, that book comes out 3 days before the event. There are some updates to matchmaking and Spartan Ops and all that stuff starting the week of the 21st. I believe that's the week that the Infinity Challenge ends. So I think the Infinity Challenge ends on that day. If it's not the 19th, I don't exactly remember at the moment. It's a little late, so my facts are a little blurry. But that week is marking the end of the Infinity Challenge. We get our next episode of Spartan Ops, which is going to be episode 6. We have a new playlist. It's tentatively called Forge Test. This is probably going to be the playlist for all the custom maps and game types. So this is going to be pretty much their playground right now. And I think by reading this, they have some of them already listed up in the forums, so you can go and find them and go ahead and play test them, give some feedback to which maps you would like to see in matchmaking, all that stuff. And of course, here we'll go through some of the maps as well when the time comes and kind of give you some tips of what the maps are like, what they're good for. And this is something that's been kind of rolling around the back of my head, even back in the Reach days, but possibly doing some video walkthroughs of custom maps that are on the matchmaking playlist. So that's something that we're thinking about doing. If it's something you guys would like to see, definitely hit us up with an email and let us know that you guys are interested in doing and having us do that. Also on that week, we are starting to see the unlock of specializations for everybody. So as you guys know, for those who bought the limited edition, you actually were able to unlock all of the specializations right off the back when the game released. And if you played the game up through the first 2 weeks of the game being out, if you played matchmaking just once, you were given a code to unlock all the specializations. So there's probably very few people at this point that didn't get specializations, probably those who received it for Christmas. But I'm actually going to have a code, actually a couple codes that I got on some other gamer tags, but I will be handing those out on Twitter over the next couple of days. So if you're already up at 15, you want a little edge on some other people and have all the specializations unlocked, like some of these other ones that are yet to be unlocked, then you can grab those codes on our Twitter feed. The week of the 28th, we'll get Spartan Ops Episode 7. We will also get the Griffball playlist, one that I've been waiting for a while. And the specializations that will be... Actually, I forgot to mention the specializations in the last week. For the week of the 21st, the specializations that will be unlocked are Pioneer and Pathfinder. For the week of the 28th, the specializations are going to be Engineer and Stalker. And then for the week of February 4th, this is going to be Spartan Ops Episode 8. We will get the Team Doubles playlist. I've actually talked to a few people recently, and they're actually looking really forward to that playlist as well. And then the specializations Rogue and Tracker will be unlocked as well. So by the week of February 4th, all specializations will be unlocked for everybody, despite pre-orders or whether or not you played before November 20th or whatever. We also have some other things that are going to be coming by as well. We have the Majestic map pack, which is going to be 3 new maps, which drops sometime in February. I don't think they've released a firm date yet, but it will be sometime in the month of February. There's also going to be an FFA playlist and then an update to Team Snipers. And if you read the bulletin, there is also some threads that they linked there, one of which I believe is to the list of maps that's supposed to go into that Forge test playlist. So if you're interested in that, definitely go over to the Waypoint forums and check them out. And I think that's pretty much a wrap for this one. We're doing a shorter show today just because we want to get back into the swing of things. So I hope this is a pretty succinct show for you guys. Hopefully it's not too short because from looking at the survey, which is still open, by the way, you guys kind of like an hour to an hour and a half show. So we'll probably get back to those here as momentum picks back up. And... the playlists come out, we get more Spartan Ops episodes and all that good stuff. The other thing to note that we kind of already hinted on is that there's going to be a TU, a title update, released sometime in February. This is expected to be a big one. There is no mention yet of whether or not the actual skill-based ranking system is going to be implemented in this one. There was a lot of people thinking that this update would be the one that would include that ranking update, but from talking with some people, it sounds like they're still kind of testing a few things out, making sure all the kinks are worked out for the skill-based ranking system. So probably going to have to wait a little bit more on that, but that is coming down the pipeline very soon. And I really hope they get file share working. I really hope they get that as a part of the title update. I really hope that's fixed. So, anything you're looking for the title update?
Me, a DMR nerf, a bolt shot nerf, a general slowing down of the gameplay pace.
DMR nerf.
Too powerful, too precise, too long range. Make it more like Reaches.
It feels pretty much like Reaches. Like exactly like Reaches.
Many other people disagree.
Okay. I can definitely agree with the bolt shot nerf.
Let's see. What else? Get rid of damage boost is overpowered.
Yes, I agree with that.
Get rid of, I mean,
it should be 150% damage, not 200% damage, in my opinion.
I would say less, like, I mean, maybe this might just be me being a Halo traditionalist. I would say just like either just scrap the supply drop. What's that called? Ordnance. Scrap the ordnance altogether, or just make that kind of like a playlist by playlist thing. Because I'm more for like
it is a playlist by playlist thing. The only thing it pops up in is Slayer and. It's in Dominion.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like the weapons.
I don't think it's in Regicide.
Just like the weapons to be on like, you know, the locations on the map. You know, just like traditional. You know, go grab the power weapon. It's good map control.
I don't think they're really going to do that in matchmaking. Like, the options are there for customs. That it may be worthwhile for them to do something like a classic throwback or a team throwback playlist to where it's the kind of classic settings.
And then watch everyone go play it.
I guarantee you not everyone will go play it. I guarantee you there will be a majority of the people that will probably stick to the new settings.
What else did I want? The way they do the scoring. Just do score.
Well, that's not going to change.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something minor.
I can keep going on and on with these, like, little, like, bits and pieces, but you, Dusty, and you, all the listeners, I mean, you get my bottom line. I just want traditional Halo.
Well, this is the new Halo, new and improved.
New and improved.
with a few bugs.
I beg to differ.
with a significant number of bugs.
I still think Halo 3 was the best, most recent best Halo we've had. And, you know, I wouldn't say new and improved. It has good things. It has plenty of good things at its core. It's a very crisp engine and such. It just needs to be more like real, real traditional Halo. Just slow down the pace of the gameplay a little bit. The whole thing just moves too fast. And I don't know. I don't want to play Call of Duty when I get on Halo. I mean, I'll just leave it at that. You know, I think I've made a fair point. I think I've made a clear point, and I think I've made a positive point.
Alrighty. Well, thank you guys for listening. A couple of things we want to bring up. We are going to have a quote unquote game of the year that's not Halo kind of podcast. We'll pick a few categories and pick a game that's of interest to us for said categories. We'll have a couple of them. And if you guys have any games that you want to nominate for, you want to go ahead and kind of pick a few categories now?
What? For game of the...
For non-Halo game of the year kind of thing?
You mean to pick a few, candidates?
Pick a couple categories. And then I guess we can throw some candidates out there, and then if other people want to submit their ideas, then we can take those into consideration.
What do you mean categories? Like, what does that mean?
So, like, one would be, for us, what would be the game with the best graphics? best sound designer, maybe best RPG, best open world, best racing or something.
Best open world. I'd say best open world and best RPG would be...
Okay, so that's two categories that we want.
See, I feel like Borderlands 2 is the easy winner for both of those, but I haven't played it myself because I was playing through the first one and all the DLC for it last summer.
Uh-huh.
So I got pretty burnt out. You know, I didn't want to play Borderlands 2 just a month after I finished all the first stuff.
Okay.
But it's I've been playing a lot of that. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
I have not.
Okay. It's your typical. I don't want to say typical or generic, but it's an open world, a fantasy, World of Warcrafty kind of single player game. It really got overshadowed by Skyrim because it came out in February of 2012, just a couple months after Skyrim. So it got moderate success, both commercially and critically, but it got kind of overshadowed by Skyrim a little bit.
Okay.
That's a really good one. I recommend that game.
What about best arcade game?
I don't play arcade stuff.
You don't do arcades? Okay. No. Best racing game?
I don't do that. I mean, just give it to Forza, right? Although Need for Speed Most Wanted was a pretty interesting, I heard, pretty good.
Like, we'll get some other people on when we actually do the voting for this. Some community people on here. I'd say just put Best Racing because I know there's a lot of people out there that like racing games, so I'm going to put Best Racing down.
Yeah, like Dusty. He likes Blur.
I do like Blur, although it didn't come out this year, so...
I like Blur the band. Does that count?
I guess in a way it does.
Woohoo!
Do we want to do a best non-Halo shooter?
See, I feel like I would just go to Borderlands too easily. I mean, Call of Duty, no. Like, what? Like Max Payne 3 was, like, all about guns, but it wasn't first person. It was, like, third person, like those Rockstar games. Like, although it was like, all about guns. That was
well, really there was a Hitman game, too, right?
Yeah, but, I mean, who really plays those, to be fair?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm sure there's some people that play it, though. They're, like, screaming at us right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, best non-Halo shooter, I mean, probably just go to, like, first person, we'd go to Borderlands 2 easily. Third person, Max Payne 3, that was interesting.
I have to go through all the games I got this year and then look at some of the other games I would have gotten if I had the time.
Best graphics? See, I feel like you could turn best graphics into two different categories. Like best graphics, like just like what looks good, like the realism, I guess, the detail, and then you could do like best like art style.
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
I like that.
Borderlands 2 obviously would be a big contender
for art style.
Art style, yeah. And then like you know that game Dishonored?
Yeah,
that'd be like a good art. That's an interesting art style there for that. It's kind of like
okay, so
it's like steampunky.
So best art style.
And then, like, Kingdoms of Amalur could do art style, too. It's kind of like World of Warcraft. Like, it looks like a lot like WoW, but it's still like, kind of like, it's its own thing.
Best realistic graphics.
Realism, I'm like, I mean, I almost want to say Halo, right? I mean, because, I mean, we didn't have
a... beautiful game.
Oh, we actually, you know what? I think maybe best realistic graphics should actually go to Medal of Honor Warfighter. Like, as bad as that game was, as far as, like, the gameplay and the quality of it, it had some really good graphics.
I have to watch some videos.
That's the one, like...
I have to watch videos for all the nominees for
that,
this.
The Medal of Honor Warfighter is a horrible game, but with that Frostbite engine, like, they really had some good graphics and lighting. Like, it especially like a souped-up PC, like, and the explosions, like, it all looks very good. All
right.
Regardless of how bad the game is.
Okay.
You know.
So did we decide that we want to do best non-Halo shooter?
I mean, a lot of people are going to say COD. I mean, right? But
well, I mean, let's just see,
I've played COD. I've played Black Ops 2, and I haven't even played Borderlands 2. But I'm already going with Borderlands 2 because I'm sure it's better than COD.
Well, I'm going to write it down and see what people submit for it and what people vote for it too. So. Just so people know, we're going to give 2 weeks for voting for this. So we'll have a week off and then we'll come back with nominees and then we'll have a community voting and then we'll have kind of our vote and then what the community votes as well. So I'm going to go ahead and put down best non-Halo shooter.
Yeah.
As one. Do we want to do something with, best sound design?
Final Fantasy 13 too. Which everybody forgets about because that came out in January, actually has a really good soundtrack, like good like battle music, and I mean Final Fantasy games in general usually have really good soundtracks.
So do we want to split that into soundtrack and then like sound design?
Well, I mean, isn't it like the same thing? I mean,
sound design is more like the weapons, the environment.
I mean, that's so like, I feel like you're getting into the nitty gritty. Like that's kind of esoteric. I mean, are we really paying like? We were paying attention to that stuff, yeah, but it's like, I mean, can you give an award? Like, are people really going to like be able to choose? I mean, will they remember?
I don't know. We don't have to do the sound design part.
All right, let's just do soundtrack.
Yeah. Okay, let's do soundtrack then.
Final Fantasy 13 too had a wonderful soundtrack, very like, very upbeat. Max Payne 3 had like a lot of guitar stuff in it. That was cool.
Okay.
What else?
So right now we have. For gaming categories, best RPG, best open world, best racing, best non-Halo shooter, and then for game-specific elements, we have best art style, best realistic graphics, and best soundtrack.
Yeah, sounds about good.
And I know this isn't really like all-encompassing of what you would pick for awards and everything. This is just stuff that we're kind of interested in and that we know we would like to vote on. So this is our short list of seven. So we'll put out
We should do like worst game of the year.
Let's just get
worst game, the Medal of Honor Warfighter. I'm serious.
We'll do.
It has like a 47 on Metacritic.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, big time. It got like fours and fives.
Okay, so worst game of the year.
And then, like, I guess we could do, like, best new IP. I mean, there are a couple. There was, like, Amalur.
Oh, that's a good one.
Kingdoms of Amalur. There was Dishonored. Well, I feel like Dishonored is probably just going to win because, like, as cool as Amalur is.
A lot of people like Walking Dead.
As cool as Amalur is, it's a lot like WoW, and, like, everyone, like, seems to just be absolutely in love with Dishonored because it's neat.
There's a lot of people that like Walking Dead, though.
That's based off a TV show, right?
Yeah, but it's still a new IP for gaming.
Perhaps.
So, okay, so we added two more there. We added Worst Game of the Year and then Best New IP. So we have nine. We have a total of nine categories. So we'll throw some nominees up there for each one of these. And then if you guys want to add something, we'll have a post in our forums where you can put a response in with the show post for this. And then we'll come back with the final list of nominees a week later. And then after that, we will have final voting. Sound good?
Yay. Yeah.
Yay. All right. So that concludes this podcast, guys. Remember, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And we still are doing Monday Night Matchmaking, although we didn't have much of a turnout tonight.
I mean, let's just, like, wait until the TU. I feel like a lot of listeners...
I mean, the option's there. And
I feel like a lot of listeners would support us on that, to be honest.
That's fine. It's more or less an excuse for me to get on Halo and not do anything else. And Monday's a holiday for me, too.
Speaking of doing something else... Last I checked, Dusty, you know, spring break is almost over. You know, we're getting close to the end of spring break.
I knew you were going to bring this up.
Considering we're now getting close to, like, a new spring break, I mean, you know, my God, right?
Yep, hold my feet to the fire.
Yeah. It will. One day.
Okay.
By Halo 6, right?
Okay. Thank you guys again for listening, and we will see you next time.
Yay, thanks for listening. Goodbye.